Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, we want to bless your name. The entrance of your word brings light and illumination. And we pray that this morning you'll anoint us and bless us with your word and influence us with the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. Everybody say a big amen.
Amen.
Well, give God a hand of praise. Can you take a seat in God's presence? Today is the last Sunday for the month of March, and God has been gracious to us.
Amen.
Amen. And all we can say is, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you. I want to be sharing on the call to fruitfulness. The call to fruitfulness. In Genesis 1:28, when man had been created, God spoke and mandated man to be fruitful. And God blessed them. You are blessed. And the word blessed means empowered to prosper. And to prosper means to have the help of God. May you have the help of God. You didn't hear, I said, may you have the help of God. Some of you didn't hear me. I said, may you have the help of God. Maybe you don't understand to have the help of God. Because the Bible says, unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. If the Lord doesn't enter your situation, it will not be good for you. So may you have the help of God. And the Lord bless them. Genesis 1:28, and the Lord said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So these were the very first statements that were made to man when he was created. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And so God doesn't want us to stay there. So to be fruitful means to increase in our numbers, to increase in our aptitude, to increase in whatever we are. That means that not to stay the same way we started.
And
in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus repeated this to his disciples.
He
said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. So, you have been chosen by the Lord. Chosen to do what? Not only chosen, but you have been ordained. That you should go and bear fruit. So, it means that you are to be a fruit-bearing person. When there's a tree that ought to bear fruit and it's not bearing fruit, you realize that that tree is wasting the ground. And it's wasting space. It's wasting space. And so it doesn't deserve to be there. So God wants us to be fruitful. And Jesus said, when you go and bring forth and that your fruit remains, then whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So your gaining certain things is premised on the fact that you become fruitful. I keep telling you that the fact that you come to church is not an automatic thing that you are going to be blessed. If you keep visiting a friend's house, it doesn't make you a family member. You may eat some of their food, but it doesn't make you a family member. You will not inherit what is in the house. If you keep going to a friend's place at a workplace, it doesn't make you a worker. And so you don't get a paycheck at the end of the month. So thank God that you come to church, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to get some special blessings from God until you become a worker for God. You see, when you read Deuteronomy, you say, Pastor, why are you saying that? I can prove it to you from the word of God. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2. He said, if you shall diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe and to do his commandments, you know, then the Lord your God will set you on high and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Did you see that? It shall come to pass if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. And to do all his commandments, which he commanded this day, then the Lord thy God will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. May the Lord set you on high. I said, may the Lord set you on high. And you see, when the Lord then, and the Lord only sets you on high when you have obeyed his word. And that's why I keep preaching his word. And I exhort you to obey his word. You see, many of us are looking for some quick wonders. And we are looking for some magical performances in the house of God. We love the theatricals. But God is not a magician. He's a God of orderliness. He said, if you shall obey and serve him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Amen.
Amen.
In Exodus, it says that you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water. So you realize that the blessings don't come accidentally. They come when we do some things. So you've got to know what God's word is saying. And then do it. And the Lord your God will set you on high. So as you are hearing God's word now, may you have a determination to do it. And as you do it, may the Lord set you on high. And the verse 2 says, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. All these blessings will come on you and overtake you. If you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. If it's a conditional clause. So it means that you got to do something in order to get something. So you see, when you are in a church and you are not doing much and you are not gaining something, it's not because that God is not powerful. It's not because that church you are attending is not powerful. It's because you are not doing something that you've got to do in order to get paid by God and blessed by God in a particular way. So you be going round, and that is what most Christians are doing today. They hear, hey, we hear something's happening here. Hey, there's a powerful something here. Hey, there's something here. Now, the whole thing has become like Yekwe Droso. You have here. Yeko Drosu, something's happening here. You are there. There's somebody, he can prophesy from your pants to your grandmother to whatever color, you tell you this and that. And that is one. But you know the color of pants you are wearing. I am not discounting any kind of giftings. Are you getting me? But what I'm trying to let you know is that there is something that you've got to know and to do, and let this, your God, be a blessing to your life. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. So God wants us to serve him with our time, with our talents, and with our treasures. And guess what? What's the main thing that God is interested in us doing? The Bible says that when man was on the path of dying and into destruction, he sent his only son, Jesus, to come and die for us. And so we have been made partakers of the nature of God, and we are to propagate the good news by preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we have been made partakers. We have been made co-laborers together with God. And God wants to use us to be able to preach his word and bring salvation unto people. And when we do that, he also will be a blessing to our lives. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. He so loved everybody that he gave his only begotten son. You see, some of us love only our family members. Some of us love only ourselves. Some of us love only our classmates. Or your tribal people. Or your national people. But as for God, he loves everybody in the world. For God so loved the world, the rich and the poor. He loves the deprived. He loves people who have been thrown away. Most of the time, we are not attracted to the unattractive. But God is attracted to the unattractive. So when people have given up on you, and they say you are good for nothing to them, God says you are the one I like. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. And that's the reason why he has called us and given us a work to do. So when Jesus came and gave himself unto the world to save humanity, he raised up some disciples and gave them a mandate, which we call the Great Commission or the Great Commandment. That we should go and propagate this good news. Everybody is supposed to be part of it. And so in Mark 16:15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? Is the fact that man sinned against God, the soul that sinner shall die. And so as we have sinned, we are all condemned unto death. And our lives are disconnected from God. But God so loved us to save us. He sent his son Jesus, who were covered with sin. The stain of sin had covered us. And our own good works could not wash the sin away. The blood of bulls and goats could not wash the sin away. And that's the reason why. In fact, there's no soap that could wash the sin away. You see, there are some stains that can be washed away by Lux soap or Rexona soap or Guardian soap or Omo. But when it comes to certain kinds of stains, these cannot do it. Sometimes when you get a coconut water and it stains your shirt, it's very difficult to clear it off. But thank God that the blood of Jesus is able to clean away every stain, every past stain of drinking, of womanizing and manizing, any kind of stain that came upon you, the blood of Jesus is able to wash it away. And so that you become a stainless person.
And
that's why we say, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious
is the flow that makes me
white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious
is the flow
that makes me white as snow.
It's only the blood of Jesus that can wash away our sins. The sins of your father that has visited you. Sometimes you can see the pride of your father and the behavior of your mother, and you are beginning to exhibit it. But when you come to Jesus, there's a certain power that comes and breaks it away so that you become liberated. In my family, drinking of alcohol. Call it the church of Chebi Mami Chebi. Yeah. And I could see some of my cousins. Older people were coming. The cousins were also getting into it. And we too, me myself. Hey. I realized one day I started drinking some of the palm wine. Yeah. But when the blood of Jesus came upon me, I lost appetite for that.
Amen.
Amen.
I probably would have been a number one drunkard. Could have been involved with that. Be giving birth all over the place. But when the blood came and touched me, and touched my siblings, it has made us different. So I tell you that if there's any message to give to anybody and to wash away that weakness from your father's line and your mother's line and to change your spiritual DNA, it is only the blood of Jesus. You know what? When you study genetics, the first Mendelian law says that genes are transferred from one generation to another without any alteration except there's a mutation. So you realize that every one of us, we look like our parents one way or the other. It's a genes that we have inherited. We inherit their chromosomes. Is that right? But where there's a mutation, then the behavioral pattern which we ought to have inherited is shunted, is cut off, and we are freed from that. And it is only the blood of Jesus that is able to break that behavioral pattern, so that if in your family there are prostitutes upon prostitutes, there are thieves upon thieves, there are murders upon murders, once the blood of Jesus comes to touch you, that spirit of stealing, that spirit of prostitution, that spirit of wickedness is broken away, and you walk in a new train of life, and your descendants now don't follow whatever your grandparents were following, but there's a new life in Christ. New life in Christ. You hear me? Yes. That's why the songwriter says, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. Oh, I'm born again. More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. Yeah. I love that man of God. I love that man of Galilee. Oh, he has done so very much for me. He has taken away. He has taken away my sins and put the Holy Ghost in me. I love that man of Galilee. So very much for me. Oh, he has taken away my sins and put the Holy Ghost in me. I love that man of Galilee. So God's love is so wonderful. God's love is so wonderful. God's love is so wonderful. Oh, wonderful. It's so high. You can't get over it. It's so low. You can't get under it. And it's so wide. You can't get around it. Oh, wonderful. Oh, give Jesus a hand of praise. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm passionate about this. Because I've slept under idols before. I should have been a servant of idols. But today I'm a priest of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm a priest of God. And it's a blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I was born, I was supposed to be thrown from a story building. I was being thrown from a story building. And a man of God came and said, no, no, you can't throw him away. Many of you too would have been thrown away in many ways. And he said, this guy is going to preach. So if I'm alive today, I can't do anything than to appreciate the fact that I would have been thrown away before my first year, my first birthday on life. And that's why we need to live for God. Amen.
Amen.
And every day Satan has plotted to destroy people's lives. And you can see that people's lives have fire around them, and you must be a fire service, you know, officer to be having water hydrants around you and spraying them with the water of life to stop the fire and to bring salvation unto them. The guy who was supposed to have, who was supposed to have been a drunkard, and the guy who was supposed to have been dancing as if I used to dance as if when I was young. Yes, you took all the steps, and that's why if you dance for the devil, you should be able to dance for Jesus. And that's why today I want to encourage you to become a preacher of the gospel, because your mouth is a gate. Your mouth becomes a gateway for people's salvation. Unfortunately, many of us have become preoccupied with our own goals at the expense of the call. The call is that go ye and preach the gospel. It is not a proposal. It's a command. And I told you last week that the Lord said, if I command you that go and then warn these ones and you don't go, he says that I will require their blood from you. That means that you'll be given a murder charge for having killed somebody. Because you didn't preach Christ to them. You didn't preach Christ to your workmates. You didn't preach Christ to your neighbors. You talk about everything with them. You eat every food with them. You gossip about everything with them. You encourage them in every way. You bless them in every possible conceivable manner. But you leave out the issue of preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to them. And when you do that, you have failed in your relationship with them.
And
all we are now, we have become so preoccupied with just acquiring of material things at the expense of gaining spiritual virtues and living for our God and honoring our God and making our God happy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8. Paul told Timothy.
Paul catched Timothy.
He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Somebody said after me, godliness with contentment is great gain. What does it mean? Godliness means a life that smells of God. A life that speaks of God. A life that exhibits God. A life that when somebody sees you, he says, I can see God and smell God around you.
Na abrabo a obi hu a otase a metimi hu onyankopon na ne hu hwa etu wo.
Godliness with contentment is great gain.
Sawu babrabo pa ewo anigye so no
e ya ahunya. He said this in the verse number 7 and 8. Christian brother, Christian sister, that we have become so preoccupied, and you see in this day that we live in, we only respect and honor people who seem to just have material things, no matter how they got it. So long as we see them in some nice car, we see them in have a big mansion or whatever, and they are displaying huge bank accounts, we salute them. And those who don't seem to have much, but they are virtuous, they are honorable, they have a life of integrity, they will abandon them. But the Bible says that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out.
Say you do no more. Woman, no one, as it is, you see, I die, and ya, I won ya, Cassian, Womo, Yisica, Cassiana, Yan Shakoya, Omo Fasua, Omonia, no, Yahoo, I need a chow on Prusia, Nasa, one fuck one, Paso, and Yansua, and
godliness with contentment.
Now, I'll brabble pa, and Nigia, and Wom.
Thank God for what you have today. It may not be what you desire, but it will change. Because in God's own time, He makes all things beautiful. But don't seem to acquire things. Because
the
Bible says we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, it is certain, it is certain, it is certain, it is certain. You haven't gone and seen anybody who died and carried their five-bedroom house, story buildings, they took their cars along. In fact, they are not even buried with their cars. Are you here with me, somebody? Yeah. When you die, you don't even choose your own clothing. Somebody chooses what you wear for it. They choose who should bath you. Oh, eh? Two times that people choose who should bath you when you are born. They choose who should bath you. Your last bath also. They choose who should bath you. What you should wear, somebody chooses it. Where they will bury you, they choose for you. So all the nabu nabu, you realize that we are nothing. I hear with me. You see, and the Bible says what you have to be thoughtful about your life is that the Bible says that man's life is like vapor. If you've seen rice being cooked before, you see the way the vapor goes and it's gone. And it's like it's never lived before. There are many people who have lived. Can you even imagine? Some of us are not even thinking about someone like President Rollins. But I mean, that man was such a figure, has such a presence. But you can't even believe that he's gone. But he's gone. That's how life is. So present and yet quickly vanishes away. But before you go away, you must leave a trail. Before you go away, there are things that you must do that posterity will remember you and heaven will honor you. And one day, God can say to you, thou good and faithful servants. He didn't say, thou who acquired things, thou who married splendidly, have 24 children, had 82 houses. Thank God for that. It's not bad. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing to this world, and we take a certain, we are taking nothing away. Amen.
And pay me no enna, and ya woo enna, woo, woo jarro, ho see a woo wa, and I say woo woo swa, yana woo jarro, ho baby, a bedampo, ya do better, yana woo choose, or be bet me and ya betray, or woo yam faba kumpo, ka yam fabinsio, a dance yam fabi and kango. Yan show nippa bit is ex president Rollins, the late president. Said they are not a tear, and then as soon as they are not born and a bind, I only want to mean to Mumpasa were woo, and so and that and Pasa or Niho, and Nipa, what baby I say, dear Uben Yanina on Cassan yet, now so dear Uben ye, and Sana, a brano as so amawa corner, young fashion, and maybe I say, Nayam fashion so uncle.
May your life be a pleasing unto God.
Mawa brabo and Sonia, me any.
I did a study on Alexander the Great. He died when he was 32 years as king of ancient Macedonia. And for less than 13 years, he had conquered hundreds of kingdoms. He became very powerful. He was a great political figure. He had economic strength. Young, handsome man. All ladies were at his beck and call. Nice hair. Smooth skin. Heavy muscles. The broad chest. But before he died, he had three wishes. And I'd like for you to listen to these wishes. He said, when I die, I want to be carried by only, he wanted to be carried by only his doctors. And what was his reason? He said, no physician is powerful enough to save people from the clutch of death when it's time to go. We thank God for what they are able to do. But they have a limit. So when you have life, don't take it for granted. His second wish was that the path leading to his grave should be strewn with gold, silver, and precious stones while his body was being carried to be buried. And what he said was that not even a fraction of gold will come with me. And he made a statement. He said, I spent my whole life chasing power and wealth, and whatever I end in the earth remains here. His third wish was that his hands should keep dangling out of the coffin.
And,
no, his hands.
And he said, because
I want people to know that we came empty-handed in this world and with
it.
Now, this is a man who had so much wealth, so much power. Some of you want to become MPC. He was more than MP. He was more than a president of a country. A young man at that, you know, so much power, so much wealth, but when he gave his life and he knew that there was nothing else, these were some of the philosophical things that he came up with. And his last words were, when you bury my body, don't build any monuments, but keep my hands outside so that the world knows that the person who won the whole world had nothing in his hands while dying.
Now I say, some more cosia menswa, mamu si BBS is so mama mensane na ho, na obia fanya siya hon se, and nya obia odi o mampeni ana MP, na obia o nya timi wo wia si su se, o wu ya na
mpeni.
Trafuenti, ana si ya siya nyanko pasam, ni ya ye nyame sam kafuo, ema e wia se.
Don't live a selfish life, else you only fish yourself. Selfish, fish yourself.
And nya obia,
Second Robinson said, what you do for yourself dies with you when you leave this world. But what you do for others live forever. I say it again. What you do for yourself dies with you when you leave this world. But what you do for others lives forever. What are you doing for others? So if you want what you do to live forever, do it for others. Share Christ with others. Help them to become strengthened in the Lord. Can I have an amen?
And
that's why Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse number
4.
He said, I must work the works of him who sent me. I must work the works of him that sent me. Whilst it is day, the night comes when no man can work. And truly, the night is a time where we are no longer free or able to be active in ministry. Some of you ladies, sometimes your night comes when you go and marry a certain kind of man who says, I don't believe in God again, I don't believe in going to church, and that's the end of your ministry.
Sunday
morning, let's go to church. Say, let's go to a mutual center. Let's go and play lawn tennis. You are done for.
When you
are coming for evening service and you know very well that you are coming for evening service, then he calls you around 5:30. He said, I want some type of soup with crabs in it, with snails here, with this. No, you have to go here. Obviously, the evening meeting has been aborted. You have entered your night season. Your night season is the time when you get pregnant. For most people, when they get pregnant, the pregnancy, can just, incapacitate you. You keep throwing up. You keep feel so weak. You can't do much. Now you start having babies, and here you are surrounded by your children. This one, chi ka chi. Wow, want to me organize you? Let alone whatever to go and pray. So you see, for many of us who, by God's grace, may be single, don't look down on your singlehood. Take advantage of that, and when you also have children, take advantage of that. And still keep serving God. Your night season can come when you are not well. And when you are not well, you cannot serve. You cannot do what you want to be able to do. Your night season comes sometimes when now you grow so old that you can't be that active the way you used to be. Are you here with me? Yes. Many years ago, I could walk 40 miles in a day to go and preach the word of God. I could stand in a tractor over 24 hours. Not on nice roads. Through meandering in between trees. I wonder whether I can do it today. Are you getting me? So why? Remember, the Bible says that remember the Lord in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, when you say that I do not enjoy life anymore. Work whilst it is day, before your night season comes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, the Bible says that to everything that there is a time and a purpose. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 6. Let's read together. To everything there is what? A season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Then what again? There's a time to be born and a time to die. Do you know that? A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So there is always a time for something.
ma bribia ade bia wo ne bra wo asase aso.
That's why you have to make full use of every opportunity while we have it.
Entina esese akwanya bia ye benya no ye di aho odin ye adwuma abra ye wo.
We don't have forever to be fruitful. And we don't have forever to serve the Lord. You see, practically or biologically, a woman hasn't got forever to be able to deliver babies. There is a certain window that a woman can become fruitful and have children. And when she misses that window, then it takes something else. And you see, you don't also have, there's a window for you that makes you become more effective. Are you here with me? Yeah. And for many of us, I want to encourage, especially the young people, 15 years, 14 years, 13 years, it's a good window. That's not the time that you say, I am now preoccupied with this. Thank God, it's a good time to go to school. But at the same time, it's the best time to serve God. In fact, most of my very good friends, I made them, who are solid Christians, I made them in my teenage years and in my early 20s and co. And when we're vibrant to serving God, and we've served God in our teens, served God in our 20s, served God in our 30s, served God in our 40s, and served God in our 50s. And by the grace of God, some of them have hit 60, and we're also hitting there. We are serving God together. Yes. Serve God. Don't wait till you are about to die. You are so weak. That's why I'm looking for God to serve. Even when you want to become a military officer, after 25 years or something, at a certain level, they won't take you. And even for the professionals, after probably maybe 35 years or though, I don't know, they may not take you. You are too old. If the world system says you are too old, is that not the time that you are now coming to give yourself to God? So whilst you are young, look for him. Serve him. And those of us who are much younger, you are 40 years, serve him. Serve him with your time. Serve him with your talent. Serve him with your treasure. You are freshly married. You and your beloved. You and your husband. You and your wife. Serve the Lord. Can I have an amen? Amen. You and your family. Serve the Lord. Joshua said, I and my household, we shall serve the Lord.
Amen. Emmanuel, and your bribia, and your homa, or basa, or betimi, a woo. And he said, a brenner sona, one woo, Nasa Breno, a chum, empo, a strap for the poor yasa sister Mugra, Opera Bayer Australia, and your bribia, so about a grand walk or some Bayer Australia, or more in Fiabia, a bahuana, a chum, and your papa, a cassa, singing an answer. And see ya, you want more dean. Nanka omo a ohun omo a omo eyi na mejuma kese no se omo abra na omo ya be 13 years e dey ba no enti sabre na wo de enche mamre wa bre no enso ewiase pose omo be na onyame mu na wo chama wo bre nyina atwam wo ya kokora bre wa fe na na abesum nyankopon abra ye ho odin no moma yansum onyankopon yi.
Amen.
Amen.
And let's practically join those who are building the house of God. Let's join the John Wesleys.
John Wesley for
the Billy Grahams.
Any Billy Graham.
The Jonathan Edwards.
And Jonathan Edwards.
In our contemporary days, the great men and women of God who have dedicated themselves to the service of God. Some of them have paid their dues. It's our turn. I said, it's our turn. It's our turn to take the bait on. And to run with it. And that's the reason why. You see me these days.
See?
And I'm doing my church streets.
You
see, there are people who will never come to our churches. Even when your close friends are having a program, they will never come in the church. They will only come and pass around after the church. I've been watching people's weddings and co. Some of them never come around not to step in the church room. They will come and just peep around. They'll be hanging around. They will make noise as if they came. They didn't come into the service. They only came to hang around for you to see them. There are people who will never come into the church room. And that's the reason why we must take the church to them. Onto the streets. Through tracts. And preaching the gospel. And you and I will have to support that preaching of the gospel. And as you do that, God is going to bless you and honor you.
Na ye eni pani bi wo ho a ye ye dan ye omo masori dan mu ha da anu nti na sese yen ye di nyame dwuma no ekọ abonte so ekọ toa wo mu no.
In 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17 to 19. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17 to 19.
Timothy nwuma edi kan no eti ensia enchemu dun sun kosi dun ko.
He said, charge them that are rich in this world. Am I okay? Is my microphone okay? Charge them that. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Charge them that are rich in this world.
That
they be not high minded.
They
should not trust in uncertain riches.
But they
should trust in a living God. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse number 18. That they do good. Tell somebody do good. That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That they may lay hold on eternal life. So those of you are rich in eloquence. You are rich in finances. You are rich in strength. You are rich in something. Bible says that don't be high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches. It means that riches are uncertain. They can fly away. I tell you, I've known people who are very rich, and the next moment they were down. Let me make a quick submission. It is not your work that takes care of you. It is God who takes care of you. Your work is only a medium by which you are serving humanity and by extension also serving God. And always know that God is the source of your life. So charge those who are rich in this world. Rich in beauty.
Oh,
when they walk around, they now they believe themselves. Use it for Jesus. You are handsome. Use it for Jesus. You are anointed. Use it for Jesus. So that you lay in store a foundation for
eternity.
And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10 that one day you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of whatever was given to you.
Nadako, ubejina atemwo ahiwananim na wabua konta wania odima wunyina.
He said, read with me. 1, 2, everybody. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or
bad.
I didn't say that.
Madam,
did you hear that? Yes, what you have done in your body.
It's
been written. What are you using your body to do?
What
are you using your mouth to say? You come to church and you are God, this one, somebody's right. You are saying this, or you are encouraging people. We must all pastors, reverends, ministers, bishops, deacons, and non-titled people. Everybody, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
That
everyone may receive the things done in his body. Every talent he gave you. He gave you dancing talent. Say, I don't have time for dancing.
When
it's time for dancing, you are not available. When it's time for singing, you are not available. Things you used to do, you have stopped doing. You don't know that you are alive just because of the things you are doing. And you got to do it so that you don't exit early.
If there's
a work for you to do and you are not doing it, what's your relevance in being around?
Are
you understand what I'm teaching you?
Amen. Amen.
God doesn't want the space to be wasted. You've got to know that you are around for a reason. And don't keep thinking about yourself. I know you are busy. You know something? See, the devil is putting us into a Babylonian kind of system whereby we're always thinking about ourselves. I need to have this. I need to have that. I need to have that. Before young people marry these days, they have to do photo shoots. They have to go and the photo shoot even prior, before whatever, they are paying probably about 3,000, 4,000, whatever. And then they have to go and do a makeup that is costing 5,000, that you are going to wash your face. After 2-3 hours, you are washing 5,000 away. It has in some of them 10,000. And it's putting undue pressure on the young people. And listen to me. You see, the young guy who wants to marry you, he can accumulate all the money. He wants to get you. So you marry you. Go and do that for you. But after that, what are you going to eat? After that, you become an object of anger until he sees your face and you say that you dissipated his bank account. Years of savings. But we have allowed social media and other things now to push us into something which, I mean, it is nonsense. Excuse my language. It doesn't add anything to the marriage. And it causes people now to go and borrow. Never borrow. You are a foolish person if you go and borrow money to marry. You are very foolish. You are very foolish. And the young ladies who force men to go and borrow money so we can do it. You see, the way my sister did it, the way my brother did it, the way my friend did it. So somebody has set a standard. Who said that what the person did is a standard? Who said that is a standard? How did it become a standard? The standard is that you want to marry family people. What are their requirements? Give them what is their requirement. Come to church. If all you can afford is a copper ring, start from copper ring. The time will come when you can have adequate money for gold ring.
I
want you guys, I was just against a bracelet, 11,000. That's half a tico bracelet. And you say you want a half a tico. You have divided the tico and say that you are buying half tico to put. And when somebody says, what is it? How many carats is it? Is the nonsensical life which has pervaded our society and has entered our churches. And that's the reason why you see a lot of, you know, worldliness. So when we come to church, we are looking at who drove what and what kind of wedding did they have and what. So what somebody is trying to fight me? Amen. I overcome.
Amen. Yeah, Papa, 2 years for Nepa. Mama, I'm 5 foot 2. No. Yeah, Papa, say, sir, if you are seeing your man every run, I'm sorry, mo. I'm a obi bracelet, ba, kope, a ton over 10,000. Now, tiko, no, unya sir, si kanamo, what me to tiko. And you know, ma, who soon say, tis a bracelet near tiko, fa, a mujuro. Waka sa krana, a how? What's it so soon, a bino? And for so and niso. Ataria Bako. O se Ataria Bakua, o nipaba, wato ashe. A yadenya at star nukra, a bit chum enche. Not 15,000, 10,000 near chile. No one caught Ataria Bako. Oba, yakra, adrian, dear, dear, senor, near shawo. ti atare na odi sika bebere akwa akoto no wa ha wo
okay so I just chip this in so that you don't put yourself under undue pressure. Are you here with me? Yeah, you see, as a pastor, I feel so bad. I mean, I see a lot of the young ladies are there, and the beautiful ladies are normal. And because the guys are afraid, the pressure, and also, listen, in Ghana, the average worker, how much does he earn? And how old is the guy? And how much has he been able to save over the year? Except the guy is stealing. Are you here with me? Or maybe his parents are so rich that they decide that they are now going to do that. Even if your parents are so rich, don't let your parents marry for you. Become responsible. Be a responsible person and marry for yourself. And then whatever your parents give to you, use it. Now start building a house so that in 2-3 years' time, you don't keep renting a house. Amen.
Amen.
Paul said, fight the good fight of faith.
Paul said,
and the good fight of faith is living for the Lord. Not just the acquisition of things. Oh, make money. It's good. Bring some to the church. Even bring me some to lick. But you see, the most important thing is let your life count for the kingdom of God. You want to ask God that, you want to ask yourself, if God sees me, is God really happy with me the way I'm living? Will he tell me, thou good and faithful servant? But when you have Christ, you have everything.
Amen.
Miwa Yesua. Mi wazi nyira awo Yesu ani Yesu asumbo
sena dinina.
Let's stand to our feet. If I'm all the things of the world and I lose Christ, sing again. If I'm all the goodies of the world,
Who are you? sem papa ba matin se yesu yoda oh yeah ampa oh yeah oh yeah sem papa ba matin oh yeah
If you are here and say, preacher, I want my sins to be forgiven. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. And my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For Jesus to come and stay in my heart. Lift your right hand wherever you are so I can pray with you.
God bless
you. God bless you. And if you have lifted that hand up, kindly walk to me. I want to pray with you specially. Help them come over to me. Please, my pastors and ministers, where are you? Lead them to come. Minister, don't stand there. When it's time for altar call, just bring them over. Lead them to come. Lead them to come. Lead them to come. Thank you, Jesus. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He shed on our way, while we know His good way. He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey. But there is no other way. But there is no other way to be happy in Jesus.
To be happy.
As you have come forward, it's not man you have come to, but you have come to Jesus. And Jesus said, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So as we lift our hands together with them,
we
want to pray this prayer. Can we, if you don't mind, any, it's possible for you to lift your hands and say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you just as I am,
knowing
that I'm a sinner, and I cannot save myself. You sent Jesus to die for me. For the sake of my sins. To wash away my sins. Lord Jesus, this morning, I receive you into my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. Today I fully dedicate my life to you, my spirit, my soul, and my body. I belong to you. And say, devil, today I address you in the name of Jesus Christ, that you have no portion in my life. My life belongs to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. I bind you. I curse you. I destroy your works in my life in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now put a hand on your chest so I pray with you. Father, thank you for these precious ones. I pray that they'll be planted in your house and flourish in your cause. I pray that they'll grow in you. I pray that your Holy Spirit will overshadow them and use them. My God, anything from your father's house and mother's house that is a trait spiritually, physically, and that doesn't glorify your name, we bind that in Jesus' name and we declare freedom for them. Freedom for them to serve you. For them to prosper,
amen,
and do well in life,
amen,
in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.